Initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission. Squad. Brute Squad. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Salutations, and once again, I'd like to welcome you to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
I'm your host, Johnny Reed, and my co-pilot.
God, don't let me be the co-pilot. We might crash into something.
Yeah, but then it's more fun.
Yeah, probably true. Probably true, man. What's been going on?
Crazy week, man. Follow-up of San Diego Comic-Con.
It has been something, hasn't it?
Oh, I'm telling you. I've been, like, checking up on all the news, all the footage, and a lot of good stuff out there.
There is some good stuff going on.
A lot of crap as well.
Well, a lot of stuff that you don't know if it's real or not real because we weren't there.
Exactly.
But I got to tell you, man, there's one thing on my mind tonight. For when we're talking nerd stuff, there's only one thing I can think of. And that's Captain America. What a movie.
First of all, for all those who are listening in to our studio audience, just remember that we will be talking about the movies and the comics. So, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear about it and you haven't seen it yet, just go
away.
Close
your ears, man. Close your ears.
Go away. No, Captain America, great movie.
Surprised the hell out of me just because I expected it to be pretty good, but I didn't expect it to be that good.
I got to tell you, I put it up to the same par, I would say, as good old Iron Man.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
It's like maybe just barely a little lower, but I loved Iron Man.
They're very good bookends.
They are close, yeah.
I got to tell you, right off the bat, though, of course, you always wait for the very last part. You wait to see, hey, what little scene are you going to put at the end? What are they going to put? So we sit through those credits. Amazing. The Avengers trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, that is crazy. I mean, I was all excited about a little blip, but I mean, really, you're going to give us a full-blown trailer? I mean, when you get to actually see Robert Downey Jr. walking up to Chris Evans, hitting him on the arm, saying, what, you thought you were the only superhero? I was like, that is crazy.
It was crazy.
Thor, he got to see his new costume, got to see Cap's new costume. Black Widow is over there. Pretty much same costume she has as Iron Man. I think the only real difference is she's got a little bit shorter hair now. But overall, yeah, God, the trailer, it made me all hyped up for the movie. I mean, the only downer of the whole thing is I got to see, you know, Mr. Bruce Banner, a.k.a. not Edward Norton, in the trailer.
Give him a chance. We haven't seen it.
It's just to me, though, I really hate when they switch actors. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I hate it, and Edward Norton is just such an icon to me. He's a great actor. He's a great writer. You know, his portrayal is, you know, amazing of these characters. And we get a guy that's, you know, let's look at his resume. He does chick movies.
Yeah, but you know what? If people said, let's look at Robert Downey Jr.'s resume once upon a time, he did chick movies too.
Okay, wait a minute. Really? Because they were trying to cast him as a strung out ex-drug user who overdoses on alcohol, and, you know, he was made for Tony Stark. Let's get real. Come on.
Yeah, but look at his past. I mean, he was doing Molly Ringwald movies. Come on.
Oh, that's true. He was.
Chances are. Come on.
But he's done some really good ones.
He has. He's a great actor. But you gotta give the guy a chance, because I think, who knows, he might pull it off.
We can hope.
He might suck.
We can hope.
But we're praying he doesn't.
I don't know. It's just, for me, I really just hate any time they switch. You know, Don Cheadle. Love him as an actor. Think he's great, and, you know, he does all the Ocean movies. You know, he's hilarious. But you know what? I did not want to see him as Rhodey, you know? It's like,
that's, I kind of differed, because even though I don't think he was different as Rhodey, but I gotta tell you, I really liked him in that part. I really did. I thought he did a good job, and I felt like, I don't know, I was irritated with Terrence Howard, because, I mean, to not take a part like that because you think you're worth so much more money than everybody else is kind of irritating.
No, that's not what happened, dude.
That's what I heard.
No, actually, no. What actually, because I saw him on an interview, what actually happened was he was got a call one day to turn on the TV, and he saw that they had already recasted him, and he didn't even get the part. They didn't even ask him about it. He was the highest paid at the time, and they were afraid that they'd have to keep his contract. But he said he'd went ahead and take less to have been a part of it, because him and Robert Downey Jr. became really close friends, to the point that they were jogging and working out every day together.
Well, I don't know, man. Right here on, right here on Variety, I went and checked my source on Variety, and it says, Marvel's decision to recast the role of Colonel Jim Rhodes was said to be a combination of salary issues and a concern about the performance ability of the actor currently in the part because of some difficulties he was having with the director.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of weird.
I think there's always going to be a couple different stories.
That's kind of like
Iron Man 2. They gave the release dates on the same night that Favreau was on Howard Stern, and Howard Stern turned around and asked him, he goes, so are you directing the next one? He goes, they haven't even asked me yet. And they'd already put this is our release dates. He wound up going ahead and doing it, but he goes, it would have been nice if they would have included me on this date.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in here it's saying that, again, on another Hollywood Reporter, it says that there was a money dispute with the producers and the director, and he's still not happy about it, needless to say. But there was, Howard says that Marvel made a choice. It was a very bad choice. They didn't honor my contract. And that's kind of how he says that he was, if the first one did well, he was expected to be paid more for the second one. They didn't want to offer him more, and so he basically left. Weird.
But you know what? I got to say something, though. I mean, seriously, if you're an actor and you have a contract with a studio, you know, to me, I think it's really a crock when those studios, as big as they are, do not honor those contracts. Especially in a situation of this, I mean, Iron Man made what, quadruple what they thought it was going to.
Right, it
surprised them.
They
had no idea it was going to blow up the way it did.
Right,
you know, and granted, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. wound up pretty much taking the role for a song.
Yeah,
and Favreau actually took a cut in pay, and I did read that he took a cut in pay and pretty much would not even take all his salary to be able to get Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark / Iron Man, because the studio was so against Stark. I mean, so against Robert Downey Jr. playing that part. Boy, were they a little bit off.
They were a little odd, yeah.
They were just a little bit off.
Yep.
But no, I'm excited about the Avengers now.
Yeah, me too.
But I guess it's going to be the Avengers, and it's going to be followed up from that will be the second Thor, the third Iron Man, and I guess they're talking the second Captain America.
I'm excited about it. I don't know where they're going to go once they do the Avengers.
The only thing I could think is if maybe they have them guest star in each other's show movies from that point. I don't
right.
know.
That could be interesting.
But what do you? So let's talk about Captain America as a whole. What did you like and dislike the most about the movie? What parts really grabbed you?
I thought actually the whole movie was really well done. I was pleasantly surprised because they didn't. I was really afraid after seeing the trailers that they were just going to throw out the Nazi angle altogether. That's what all of us were worried about, and they didn't.
Right.
They kept the Nazi angle in there. It was very true to the source. I like the fact that not only did they keep it in there, but the Red Skull's ambitions were to just kick the hell out of Hitler and boot him out and take over the whole deal. You know,
which is so the Red Skull.
It is.
You know,
it
I mean, awesome. After a while, he's like, I'm greater than Hitler.
It's true. It's exactly what happened. And the only real dislike I had, you know, they did change some things from the comic. I guess I liked Bucky's character. I just don't know if I would have made it Bucky. But overall, I liked the character. It just seemed weird and a little rushed because he was in the movie, then he wasn't. You know, it was pretty quick how that happened.
Well, what kind of got me off a little bit about him, and I'm not sure, but you know how Captain America saved him? And it looked like they were doing all these experiments on him. And it's like the whole rest of the movie, he seemed like he was like a strung out crack whore. I mean, really, I mean,
I couldn't tell if he hated his friend or liked him. It was kind of weird.
And he always had like dark eyes. He's always like, he was very, you know, well-kept, the soldier up until that point. And then he wasn't, you know, he always was drinking. He had dark eyes. He wasn't shaving, which is fine. I mean, but the story didn't really touch on why that happened.
Well, and I'm not sure that was even, I don't know what the heck that was.
It was
like
kind of,
said,
but did you notice it was kind of a difference? He kind of had a different
demeanor.
Well,
it was supposed to be years later or some time had passed or whatever. But at the same time, it felt like he just didn't, sometimes he just didn't even like his friend anymore or something. It was weird.
Or like there might have been like a little jealousy or something.
Something,
there.
Something weird. I'm not sure how that plays out in the uncut version, but I'm sure we'll find out.
You know what? Tell you the truth, I love the movie. I thought it was great. There's only one thing, of course, one thing that I, you know, disliked about the movie. Or I can't even say I disliked it. I wish they would have done. Because everyone knows from reading the comics that Nick Fury was one of the Howling Commandos. Back in the day, it was Nick Fury's Howling Commandos.
Right.
And he was there with Dum Dum and all of them. But the thing that got me is that they had the African-American character in there, which I'm going to assume was Nick Fury. They never had gave him any name. They never said anything. But I was really waiting at the very end when they had the whole helicopter, you know, the helipad part, and they're chasing. I was really hoping that that character, which they never really gave a name, would have taken something in the eye. I was, because at that point it would have been like, oh, that's Nick
Fury. I remember
Fury.
You were going on about that for a while.
Yeah, I was like, really? Come on. Just that little thing, and then you would have bridged both those movies together.
Now, a lot of people, unless you're a fan of the comic, they didn't even know that that's who that was.
Right.
They didn't figure that out.
Oh, granted. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and they're like, is that who that was? I go, well, I don't know if it was or not. I go, I know back in the comics that Nick Fury was a part of that ragtag group.
Right. Exactly.
So I was like, hey, you know, and I just was hoping they'd do that bridge gap, because at that point at the end, when Steve Rogers runs out of the facility they had him in and he ran out there and saw Nick Fury, it'd have been, hey, there's a familiar face. Because that's one thing I do like in the comics, is they both have that bond in the comics, that they both came from that same, you know, era. They both came from that World War II aspect. You know, they weren't alone. You know, I do like the part that, you know, Bucky bit it, because now we can probably get, you know, Winter Soldier, U.S. Agent in one of the third movies.
Yeah, I don't want it. You know what?
I bet you they will, though. I bet you that's probably where they're going to probably go.
Weren't you kind of frustrated, though, that Bucky was in the movie for like 4 minutes? I mean, come on. he wasn't in much of the movie.
Well, I just know in the comics, it's kind of like the rocket went up. Bucky was on it, you know. And next thing you know, Cap is driving a plane into the Antarctic.
Yeah. It was an interesting ending for sure, but you know, overall,
but I liked it. It was great.
I liked the movie. I thought it was very well done. The acting was great. Chris Evans did a fantastic job in the part.
Oh man, I got to tell you, I never even thought about him being, you know, the Human Torch.
I liked how they got by with having him basically in the tights and stuff, and he said, "You know what? I kind of like the suit. It grew on me."
Oh yeah,
that was cool, because that way they can keep the cool suit for the future.
Keep the suit for the future. Yes,
they don't make him look like a dork.
Do you know what a lot of people did not notice either? They actually had a hidden character in the movie.
Really?
You know when they had Stark the Expo International,
right,
for Howard Stark? When it was panning across, they actually had an android in an all-red suit, which was the original android Human Torch.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people hadn't picked that up, and I was like, wow. But you know, how cool would that be if they ever did a sequel to have that?
Oh, that would be rocking. That'd be rocking, man.
Granted,
I loved it.
The way they froze him so quick, you kind of lost those years. I mean, I always thought it would have been great for a sequel to do another prequel and have him with the Invaders. How cool would that be to have Captain America, the Human Torch, and Submariner together?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's only adding a couple characters. I mean, that could really be a good dynamic there.
It could, yeah.
But, you know, and I guess they still could. I mean, you don't know exactly what he was doing while he was fighting the war the entire time. They kind of, you know, kind of rushed it a little bit. But, you know, overall, don't get me wrong. Anybody listening, it is a great movie. Highly worth it. Haven't enjoyed a movie like that since I saw that first Iron Man. I mean, it was just really over the top. I enjoyed it. It was a fun ride. Highly recommend it. Go see it.
That's what I think, too.
Forget the Kid Wizard. Go see Captain America.
Well, and I got to say, you know, lots of things I liked about it, but it was the summertime movie, I think. It was the ultimate summertime movie. That and Transformers 3D. I thought Transformers 3D was fantastic, too. Like, here's two great movies you can go check out and have a good time while you're there. That's, you know, leave all the BS at the door, man. Don't go in there and pick a movie apart. Just think about it. Have a good time.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to say, hey, I think this should have changed a little bit, but you know what? I'm doing a show. I'm going to talk about it. I mean, really, I'm going to say, hey, what would be a little different? But overall, beautifully done. Tommy Lee Jones, oh my God, he was great in it.
He was.
I think my favorite scene was probably the grenade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was just classic.
It was awesome. So what else is going on this week?
I got to tell you, I did finally go ahead and get caught up on the Potter.
Did you?
I saw the new Potter movie. I actually really dug it.
I liked it, too. I just thought it was lacking some energy level somewhere. It lacked the punch in the face. You know, I kind of look at it like, I don't know, there was a lot of revelations in there. And, like, I hadn't read the book, so the thing with Snape, you know, when Snape was in there.
Oh, right.
And we found out all that stuff.
You got to find out exactly.
That should have had a lot more emotional impact. It kind of got glossed over and rushed through.
Right.
And there was a lot like that. And then, like, whenever he grabs Voldemort and he jumps off there, that should have been, like, a moment equivalent to when Vader picks up the Emperor, you know. And
oh, right.
The lightning's going everywhere. You know, it just didn't have that.
Let's have some, like, camera, you know, scoping around that scene of, you know, a little slow-mo of him grabbing him as they fall.
Try to make it some emotion to it. It just seemed like, and now Harry's doing this, and now Harry's doing that, and now Harry's doing this. And they're all cool things, but can you imagine what would have happened in the hands of a capable director that could do both action and bring emotion to the part? Because this guy's kind of seemed like he was almost a made-for-TV director.
It did seem like there was just very definitive beats.
Yep.
That had
boom.
We're going to hit this. We're going to hit this. We're going to hit this.
And none of them had that resonance.
Like, yeah.
It just kind of, it was good, but it was just like, come on.
Even the part, I mean, when you think about it, they killed Lupine, who in the books, you know, I haven't actually read the books. To be honest, I bought them all and I said I would, and I'm going to start reading them this week because I said I wanted to enjoy the movie. So I'm going to wait till the movies. I see all the movies, then I'll read the books. I mean, I've read a lot about them, but the point is Lupine and his wife gets killed. And the one twin, Fred, gets killed. I think it's Fred that gets killed, one of the twins. And you have a few little moments about it. But, I mean, to me, that's something that should have been, it didn't have the impact I thought it would.
And that's what I thought. I was like, what's going on here?
Because I'm like, okay, you got some major characters. And it may just be me. I don't know. Maybe I watch so many movies, I'm numb to it now. But, you know, it was just one of those things I was just kind of like, hey. Yeah, I agree with you after I saw it. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, it's enjoyable.
I mean, it
I'm not
great.
Saying
it was a nice, but it didn't have that
emotional
bam,
impact.
No.
And it really needed, I think it needed excitement. And the problem lies in the director. I don't think the script was the problem. I think in this case, even though some of the lines were kind of goofy, I think that the director was the real problem here because this guy was more pedestrian.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't a John McTiernan for sure. You know, he wasn't someone who was good at action because the action was fairly straightforward and almost rather. There. It just was there. The action wasn't exciting. It wasn't thrilling. You didn't feel like, I mean, there's so many movies we can mention where, I mean, you felt like you were on the edge of your seat through the whole movie. It just didn't have it. Like, it's not a James Cameron. You know, it's like I said, a McTiernan, or it's not a Russell Mulcahy.
Well, I mean, let's think about it. Captain America, really. Okay?
That movie had some good
stuff. The end where he's crashing the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking to, you know, Carter. And they're talking. I mean, that to me, that was pretty emotional. And the actors, I mean, I was like, wow, this is pretty impressive. You know, I almost felt bad for him. You know, his gal's never, especially knowing the story of Captain America, knowing that the minute you hit, she's never going to see you again. You know, you're going to wake up a young man, she's going to be 90, and you guys missed your moment.
That's right.
You know, I mean, but you're right. Potter, it was like, wow. Well, they even had that part where he died and they were carrying him. And I was like, ugh.
And even that didn't have the emotional resonance it should have. People should have been more, I mean, because of the fact that he did this thing where he sacrificed himself.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been a big act. It should have been a big heroic moment building up to this huge heroic moment. Da da da. And it was more like, da da.
And it was, let me down. Let me shoot you with something.
I know, dude. They even botched that, the let me down part.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, really? Yeah, I didn't even, yeah.
I mean, because here it is. You know that he's not dead. You know it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, man, they should have really made that a real surprise, you know, like.
And it really wasn't to me.
No, it wasn't. He should have jumped down and, I mean, it was just kind of, I felt like there was a missed opportunity. Overall, a good movie because let's face it. It was made by some of the best technicians in the world.
Oh, granted.
It's not going to be a bad movie. It's going to be shot exquisitely. It's going to be lit exquisitely. But I think the direction was what lacked the drive to make it a full-on classic. It wasn't a masterpiece. It was just a fun time waster. And again, go into the movie, you know, don't expect the world, and you'll have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Granted.
What else is going on this week?
Dude, I think it's Cartoon Network, I believe, started a new Wolverine and Iron Man anime.
Did
cartoons
they?
Yeah, I do not recommend it for kids because they drop a lot of the words that you probably don't want for kids, but overall, man, I'm telling you, the artwork is just crisp. It's really great looking. Wolverine's a little bit younger, but I really enjoyed the first episode. I really liked it. It's mostly him over in the Orient, and he's going after his I think it's Makio. I can't ever pronounce her right, but basically it winds up becoming his wife later on in years. And the animation, he's in this big sword fight and they're cutting his forehead and you're seeing the bone underneath and you're seeing, you know, all the animantium and then you see it healing. I mean, just from the anime, they really pulled it off really well. Really recommend it. Iron Man just as well. I really liked it. It's really cool. He's playing an arrogant ass, but I mean, you know, that's Tony Stark. But yeah, highly recommend those two new cartoons, man. If you go out there, check them out. They just started last week. I'm sure they're going to be showing repeats all week long. But yeah, I'm digging it. And I'm not a big anime fan myself. I'm a very classic, you know. I grew up on, you know, Tom, you know, it's just, I don't know. But I got to say, now I'm starting to like it. I'm starting to like some anime.
Go back and rewatch that Batman, Jeff Matsuda. You might like it more now.
That's true. But then again, you know what? I grew up on Battle of the Planets. I love that show. Growing up, I thought Battle of the Planets was the greatest show in the world.
It was great.
I mean, me and my friends, I remember, going to West Englewood, you know, elementary school. And we all would play the different characters, you know. My friend was Jason. I always liked Mark. You know, all of us, you know, just here we are like in grade school playing this, you know, playing these characters. And it's kind of like great. You know, I even go back and I'm watching them now and I'm like, man, this is a classic anime. Now that is what I wish, you know, if they're going to reboot anything, tell me how cool a little bit of Battle of the Planets would be for a live action movie.
Oh, I know. That would be nice.
I mean, to me, that would be freaking
awesome. I'd almost
awesome.
Want them to make it though in Japan. I don't really want them to make it here because God knows it'd turn into a CGI fest. It wouldn't be any fun. And they'd have like some WB stars in there. So I'd really kind of like it to be more done in Japan with the decent martial arts directors and someone that could really bring it out because, yeah, I just don't want to see it ruined, you know? I don't want to see I don't want to see Justin Bieber in the lead.
I don't know, though.
don't try to ruin it.
No, I'm thinking, though, think of 300. Think of Sucker Punch.
Yeah, but still, I don't know, think Battle of the Planets should be done classic, almost like Star Wars. It should have the classic feel, the old school feel, you know, because we'd miss that if we went.
Oh, well, heck, we might as well have Lucas go ahead and direct it then, because that's pretty much where he's at.
He's, you know what, he's the man.
He's, you know, he's great with effects, but I mean, but his old style is very old school serial.
You know,
don't get me wrong, I love it. Yeah, I mean, the old Flash serial, there's a movie they never did a sequel of, Flash Gordon. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know, but the first one's great. Alex Ross's favorite movie of all time.
Is it really?
Yes.
I can see that.
It's his favorite movie
of all
time. I
wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's definitely probably my top 10.
I like it. You know, it is what it is.
It's
cheese,
got Queen as a soundtrack.
It's just fun. I mean, you go to that movie, I'll tell you what, I remember it playing in theaters. I went, I didn't know what to expect. I kind of was like, what in the hell did I just watch? I got out of the theater and I was like, you know, hell, I had a good time. That was all that mattered to me. I had a really good time.
Well, I remember going to see it, and it's so funny because talk about different cultures, right? I saw it as a movie. It was a great movie. I remember going to my grandparents' house afterwards because me and my grandfather was like my best friend. You know, we always went to sci-fi movies. He took me to my first movie I can remember. He took me to Star Wars, the 63rd Street Drive-In. You know, God, I was a kid. He took me in to see Die Hard, a rated R movie. Great movie. But as I digress.
John McTiernan, once again.
Yes. But I remember going to telling my grandmother, hey, I just saw this great movie, Flash Gordon. And she's like, oh, yeah, when I was a girl, we used to go down to the movies and see the serial. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, how long has this guy been around?
And then she says, yes, I enjoyed looking at the Frosted Flakes every day.
Yeah, Frosted Flakes.
I'm such a turd.
But yes, but I mean, I didn't really, you know, realize that, you know, at that time that that's a character that's been around, you know, since like, you know, the 40s, 30s, whatever, you know, because like, what was it? Buster Crabbe starred in it, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Buster Crabbe.
He's the man. And he also was on he was Buck Rogers. And remember, he was in
was in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
I remember that because they had that whole joke of, I've been around longer than you. And he's like, I bet you haven't.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I actually have that DVD set. I love Buck Rogers.
Me too.
Back in the day, the old Buck Rogers and the old Battlestar Galactica, those are the greatest shows. I love those shows.
I do too, dearly.
And then today they keep like, let's redo them again. Let's redo them again.
And you're like, let's don't.
You know, have something fresh, something new.
Let's pretend like we were going to redo them and do something else.
You know what I'm digging? Sci-Fi Channel's got that new show, Haven. Second season started up this
week. Yeah, I never got to see the first season.
And dude, it's good. It's all right. I mean, it's not one of those, oh, this is the greatest show ever. But, I mean, it's one of those, it's just fun. It's a little mystery. You don't know who's doing what. You know, it's based on a Stephen King novel. So you kind of got that whole idea. Of course, it's over on this little island, you know, East Coast. It's got that whole Cape Cod feel. But, I mean, overall, dude, really recommend it. I really enjoy it. If you get a chance.
Well, yeah, I'll check it out. I was going to check it out because it's on Netflix, I think. If I'm not mistaken, it might be on the Netflix. I think I saw something online. So I'll definitely check it out. I thought about it already because I thought, man, this looks all right.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad.
You never know.
I know there's a lot of different sci-fi stuff starting up next year, so... Torchwood. Man, I got to tell you, I'm going to give weekly updates on Torchwood. I love this show. I mean, it's Captain Jack. I mean, they did the whole last series and he was kind of depressed and everything. But, you know, I got to tell you, overall, great show. Dude, I went out, canceled my Cinemax, got Stars, jumped on board with it. Freaking can't recommend it enough. But you know what? I think we're about running down to our break time.
Break time.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. But we want to thank you for, so far, tuning into the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
Attention all personnel.
You got it.
You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
And welcome back to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
That is awesome. Every time we do that, cracks me up.
It's just nuts. I can't help myself. I'm nuts.
You're just crazy like that.
I am definitely nuts. I admit it.
So, you know, I think it's a good time to break and go into a
little bit. We just had a break. What do
you
want?
Not that like that. Okay. Break from the TV and the movie talk.
Okay, what are we going to talk about now then?
I don't know. No, I'm just joking.
All right, enjoy the rest of the show, guys. We'll see
you later. Cool thing about San Diego Comic-Con was the premiere of Marvel Legends coming back in 2012.
Oh, the toys, yeah.
Yes, toys.
All right, I got you. But what do you think, man? What do you think? Toys?
I got to tell you, I'm really digging it. The first set is going to be a Torax as the Build-A-Figure, and they're bringing some old and new one. They have Thor, they have Iron Man, they have Constrictor as an older figure, they're doing a Claw, they're doing Steve Rogers as the Super Soldier, and they're doing Hope from the new X-Men line. So I like how they're kind of mixing up the old and the new. They actually even premiered some of Wave 2, which, believe it or not, now that we've seen Captain America, they're doing a Professor Zemo. The Headless Wonder?
Yeah.
He's the Build-A-Figure, believe it or not. And they're going to change up what they're doing, because I know in Series 2, they're going to do the Bucky Cap. They're also doing Dakin as Wolverine. But the big thing is, instead of doing variants, they're going to change their figures around during production runs. Like, the big thing for Wave 2 is going to be the Wrecking Crew. So the first production run that hits the stores first might have Thunderball in it. But then later on, when they do the second run, it'll probably have Crowbar or one of the other characters. They're going to be doing the same thing as far as like Madam Viper and Madam Mask. The first run, they'll have one. The second run, I'll have the other. I'm kind of mixed feelings on that. I think it's kind of cool because you're keeping fresh on your pegs. But as we know how most retailers are, they're going to order one wave of, okay, we're going to order so many cases of Wave 20, and then they're done. So that means, you know, like Walmart or Target's going to get a whole bunch of the first wave, and that second wave, I don't think it's really going to get, you know, out there as much as it should.
Probably right, yeah.
But, you know, hey, I give them I will give them credit for trying something new.
Yeah.
Unlike Mattel. Do we want to talk about Mattel? I'm not real pleased with Mattel right now.
What's wrong with Mattel?
Well, as we know, they've probably got one of my favorite, you know, toy lines of DC Universe. And they're doing all the classics, Metal Men, all these great characters. Well, they finally announced that this year they're going to be doing a club, kind of like Club Internia, where you actually have to pay so much a month, you get a figure every month, and it's a subscription service. So you can't get them in the retail stores. You can only get them through signing up. And that's not a bad idea. I think that's great. You know, if you can give me more of these characters, that's great. So you get to sign up, you get like three different kind of, you know, deluxe figures. They'll be a little bit bigger. Like they're talking Shaggy Man, or they're talking Moltron with the chair for the New Gods. Like one of the new figures right off the top is going to be Jay Garrick. You know, the Flash with the helmet.
Right.
Most people really dig him.
Well, that'll be good.
But the problem I have is from now I'm reading that that's going to be the only way to get the classics now.
Yeah.
Because as of Wave 20, they're not going to be doing them anymore. Because I guess, and I may be wrong, but from everything I've been reading, and I'm actually still, you know, everybody knows I'm a shop owner, so, you know, I kind of usually got the inside track. But my rep hasn't called me back to let me know, but from what I heard at the panel was that at Wave 20, they will not be doing any more retail DC classics. They're planning on Wave 21 being this whole new universe kickoff. So you'll get your armored Superman.
Gee.
And all these new characters. And it kind of coincides with the newscast that I got with the DC Direct, that they're going to be coming out with all new characters and all new, you know, with the new costumes and everything. They're really doing this whole relaunch across the board.
Mm.
The problem I have with this is DC Universe Classics, it's always been the regular characters mixed with some of the old.
Right.
You always got a good mix, you know. You got, give me a, you know, Metal Man, but then you're going to give me a brand new, you know, Green Arrow, and then you're going to give me another character later on. You know, I'm totally down with that. Because, like, Wave 20 is great. They're finally giving us an arsenal. They're giving us a new Green Arrow, which is great because the last one wasn't real easy to get, but now he's hooded. And I got to tell you guys, the picture is awesome. Finally, the one I've been complaining about forever is they're finally giving us the Professor Zoom Reverse Flash. I'm like, really? I think the odd part is I don't know to credit them or not credit them because they're actually gave him a new sculpt.
Right.
The one figure that you could get away with repainting, they don't.
Right.
And I'm like, so I'm kind of got mixed feelings there.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, you could have just sculpted another cool figure that we've been needing.
Well, yeah, instead of the same stuff all the time. And, you know, right. Like we were talking about in your store the other day, one of the frustrations is there's a problem with this at retail, and that is a lot of people are frustrated with the line because they're putting in, like, you know, four OMACs and a Gold Man and this character and that character. No one knows who they are as far as the general public's concerned. Right. They should have made those available on MattyCollector.com as a collector's only thing for those collectors that maybe wanted that limited edition figure.
Oh, granted, yeah.
Whereas now you've got 7,000 Power Girls and about 2,000 of those damned friggin' stupid iMac guys or whatever.
All right, OMAC. Know.
OMACs, yeah, those guys are hanging
on the shelves. Oh, I know, and I got to tell you, this new line, do you know what the other two figures were? Hawk and Dove. People have been screaming about these figures forever.
Good
the
thing.
Only thing. But the only thing that gets me is like they premiered a couple two-packs. They're doing a Captain Marvel and Black Adam. Why? I have no idea. To me, if you're going to do a Hawk and Dove, that would have been a great two-pack. They're also doing a Mad Love, which is Joker and Harley.
Yeah,
which is
that's supposed to be out already, right?
Not yet. It's supposed to be, I believe it's Toys R Us exclusive. But, I mean, it's a great wave. I'm digging it. And then it's like, and then I found out.
Well, if it is a Toys R Us exclusive, and I have seen them out there around, you know it'll be difficult to get them in Kansas City because everyone that works there is a shyster who puts them on eBay.
But I got to tell you, I was very, you know, disheartened when I found out that they're not doing these classics, that they're just going to do all these new ones. I was like, wow, my favorite line. And it's like, you haven't done the Elastigirl. I mean, let's think about it. You gave us two of the Doom Patrol, but not Elastigirl. You still got Granny Goodness and all the Furies that you could do. Talk about a perfect five-pack if you wanted to get off your rear and do
How
it.
How about Creature Commandos?
Oh, yeah, Creature Commandos. That would have been a great five-pack.
That
would have
been awesome.
I mean, well, think about it. They haven't even done a Sergeant Rock. You know, no. They have not. They've done three of the Metal Men. They haven't done Platinum. They haven't done, you know, Copper. There's
like
still
we don't need no stinking Platinum.
Nice. But, I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Paul, that always is. We hang out at the shop all the time. But we were, like, sitting there, you know, totally geeking out because we were like, hey, what could we do for a great five-pack? Especially now that they showed this Legion of Superheroes 12-pack. It was like, hey, why don't they do an Arkham pack? How cool would it be? To have, I mean, especially if you go online and look for the Legion of Superheroes pack, it's really cool because it has each character in these like little rooms and it folds up. I'm like, how cool would that be to make it with bars and do an Arkham Asylum pack?
Do you remember they did that with the animated style?
Yeah, but I was like, why don't
you?
That
was so nice.
I'm thinking you haven't done, you know, the Ventriloquist. Give us a really good Killer Croc. They really haven't. And there's a lot of characters they haven't done. Blockbuster, I mean, Humpty Dumpty.
Sometimes we're glad.
Man, yeah, you know, Mad Hatter. It's like these are some great characters.
Again, I go back to the animated series. That's the last time we've seen good versions of those. Was like during that era.
Oh, granted.
They had that. Remember, they had those DC Batmans during that era. They had that awesome Man Bat.
Oh,
they
right.
Had the crazy like Penguin that was whacked out.
Oh yeah,
they had some really cool figures. The Legend of the Dark Knight or something figures.
Right,
those were nice.
And that's where I'm like, hey, you know, why can't you give us something like that?
Well, what about those new Batmans that you know I was showing you that I really want? Those are sweet.
Oh, the Legends are great. Yes,
those new Mattel ones.
Yes,
man, those are. Oh,
and I know the new wave has got Catman in it. Everyone's excited. About
I just
that.
Want the first wave. I never saw them.
I got to tell you, I had the first wave in my shop.
You're a devil, is what you are.
I'm
you know
the devil?
I would have. You know I would have drooled.
Oh, well, I know.
God dang it! Can you find those for me?
I can still. I told you last week.
Oh yeah,
I can still
yeah. You
get
can
them.
Still order those. Okay. All right. Well, you got to order those.
Now
those
you're giving
little...
me see my own show. You're giving me a bad rap.
Did you get the box of those?
Yes,
little
people.
Guys?
It's true. I cannot order anything for Todd. Don't come to my store.
That's not what I'm saying. But
see
that,
how you are.
That those little guys. Those co's. Babies, did you get those yet?
I can't get those.
Why not?
Because
we saw them on the damn website.
I'm gonna have to check on it.
It said we could order those.
Oh, those.
Yeah, okay, those Coz babies.
Yeah,
you were here
I can
last
get
week.
Those. Yes.
You forgot, didn't you, in a no. week? See, that's what happens when you don't sleep.
I do sleep every now and then. No, actually, once again, my rep hasn't called me back this week. But see, all my reps and everybody
douche.
Are at no, they're all like getting back from Comic-Con.
All right, I'll give them one break, and then they better have some Coz babies. Because it was on the website. We found it.
Yes, that is true.
And we need it. I know you'll sell those, dude. You can even upprice those, man. Right here, I'll tell everybody you're gonna upprice.
I'm not gonna upprice.
I know you're not. You don't do. He I actually do down that. Prices.
I do. It's terrible. If you come in and say I saw this cheaper somewhere, you know I'm probably gonna sell it cheaper.
Actually, you're not gonna see it too many places cheaper because unlike other places that up the price by 50%, you don't. You threw a couple of bucks on it, and you're done. That's why I loved your store to begin with. That's why I was like, we got to do a show.
We got to do a show. Just talk about your show. Just talk about your store.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I do love the store. What I want people to realize is Johnny doesn't do this show just for the store. He does this show because it's in his heart. And the store is like an extension of that. You don't even know what this guy's been through to keep this store open. But since I've known him alone.
It's a very labor of love.
It is a scraping situation, buddy. Just since the times we've known each other, you've been scraping.
But I love it. I do. I mean, honestly, if the store closed down tomorrow, I'd still be doing the radio show.
You would, but you'd sure be bummed out, you know, because...
Oh, granted. But I mean, but overall, it's kind of one of those things, you know? You got to enjoy all of it. I mean, I'm not in it to... Hey, I'm going to be rich tomorrow selling comics. No. But, you know, it gives me a place that I can go hang out and talk to people about all the stuff that I dig talking about. You know... What better thing to do than, I'm sorry, I have fond memories of hanging out in a comic shop and talking about comics and action figures all day long.
Right, and unfortunately some of the supposedly friendly places in town aren't very friendly.
Easy.
They aren't very friendly at all. I walked in there just killing some time because I was in the neighborhood there, and they don't even talk to you, man. It's like, that's the kind of guys that really piss me off when I go to places like GameStop. Because, like, down in Florida, they have this place called Movie Stop, and it's owned by the
people.
Oh,
I've been there.
It's a great place, okay? Yeah. Fantastic place. So here's GameStop. You walk in, and it's that elite kind of nerd kind of... I'm a nerd, and I love being a nerd. This is not even a nerd. This is, like, beyond that. This is, like, elitist gamer asshole. And I can say asshole. It's okay.
Gotcha.
Elitist gamer asshole who basically... It knows in the air, and it just doesn't talk to people. You know, it talks down to the customers. People come in and, oh, God, why would they want that game? You know, that's kind of attitude.
Right.
That's what I love about your store. It's old school. Come in and talk about anything.
Oh, granted. Oh, yeah, you did not want to be in there Saturday.
Why not?
Well, I met this really cool guy, John, and he's a big hockey fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was there Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can remember if you were there when he was in there or not.
I probably was.
I do have to give some great shouts to this guy, though. I mean, honestly, he hooked me up with a Chris Chilios hockey puck. I'm telling you, I'm a very, very... Chilios, to me, is like the greatest hockey player that ever lived.
Chubb Chilios, to me, is a really cool guy, too. Chubb Chilios.
Not even in the same breath, dude.
Dude, beyond the same breath. Chubb Chilios is Jason Statham.
Yeah, I'm aware.
That's the awesome part.
But I mean, he hooked me up with a signed puck from this guy. I'm like, dude, that is so awesome because, you know, Chilios has been playing. God, he's played in like four different Olympics. What kind of player plays in? I mean, that's. Oh, no, I think it was even more than four. I mean, he played in a stupid amount. I mean, the guy's been playing hockey for like, I want to say, I know he was almost 50 when he quit. He was like one of the oldest players. And he just loved it. Just loved playing the game. Mm. Played for the Red Wings, which, you know, right now I can't root for because I can't stand them right now. But that's a whole nother a whole nother radio show.
I'm kind of going, huh?
Yeah, I know. You don't follow hockey.
No.
But see, that's the point. You know, I just had a good time hanging out and talking, you know, stuff that's not always comics.
Yeah.
We're getting back into the comics. Hey.
Here we go.
But talking about Mattel on their subscription service. First three figures, they're going to do an Atrocitus from, you know, the Red Lantern. They're going to be giving us a Starman from the Legion of Superheroes with all the stars, which is cool. Especially since we're getting a 12-pack soon. And then they're also doing the Jay Garrick Flash. And I'm like, everybody's like, yeah, we need to have this for our JSA line. But, you know, totally, totally dig these figures.
So, yeah.
So I would recommend if you want some good classic figures, go get signed up. If you want some crap, just wait for Wave 21.
Yeah, it's time for some changes.
I just think it's too much. I mean, I've said it.
Time for some changes, ladies and gentlemen.
I've said it a lot. I'll say it again. It's just, it's like the DC Directs. You know, the new figures they're doing is Flashpoint figures. Then after that, they're doing this new 52 World figures. And it's like, man, there's so many figures out there that still have not been done. Really?
Really?
Arkham Series 2 coming out next week, I believe.
Oh?
Some of the stores already got them. They got some of them got them direct from overseas.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah. I saw them in stores.
But, yeah, I should be getting them next week. But, man, they're looking pretty sweet. The Bane is freaking huge.
That's the way it should be.
I agree. I totally agree.
It's got to be that way. Anything else is just poop.
It's just poop.
What's new on the cut? We haven't gone through all the comics yet, man. We're running out of time. We got to get through that stack you've got there.
We don't want to go through comics. Nobody reads comics anymore.
Yeah. Well, if they keep up pushing this online crap, no one will.
I got to tell you, man, I picked up, if you guys out there, I'm telling you, I can even back order the first issue. And even if you got to go somewhere else, which, you know, that's your prerogative. Image has this new comic called The Vault. It's a 1-in-3 issue limited series. And I'm telling you, I love it. The artwork is just crisp. Look at this, dude.
Nice.
It's awesome. And what it is this group, and basically it's kind of like Titanic in a way, that there's this group that's going out to the ocean, and they found this cave, and they're going down, and they're excavating it and seeing what they can find. And in this first issue, they wind up finding all these old crates from an old, you know, downed ship. And they keep going further and further, and they start finding all these, this whole like chest. And it's like it almost makes you think of a coffin. And I'm not going to spoil it, but you know, it's the end of issue one is kind of like what's in this. But I got to tell you, it's very cool. The story is awesome. It's like would be a great movie if they actually get into it so far. But I highly recommend it. It's called The Vault. And Image is putting it out. I can't talk enough about it. New Dark Knight, Batman, The Dark Knight. Todd's fave.
Is it good?
Dude, look at this artwork, man. David Finch is doing the art. And
holy cow, is that an advertisement or is that the art?
This is the art. That's the advertisement. That's for, you know, Converse.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a sweet ad.
Dude, Joker.
Yeah, I saw those. Well, let me see that Converse one again and go back one. Is that
No, I'm not going to let you. You're going to Rickroll me.
I'm not going to Rickroll you, man. I'll Rickroll you if you don't.
You better not.
All right, good one. Yeah, that's the classic right there.
But I got to tell you, David Finch, a lot of people that aren't familiar with him, Marvel had this whole deal a while back called, you know, the Young Guns. And it was like these great artists and it was going to be the next age, you know. And David Finch was like one of their key kind of cornerstone of that group, and believe it or not, he ditched and went to DC. And not only is he doing a lot of the artwork, but he's doing the writing on this. And I got to tell you, not only is he a great artist, but he's a great writer. I really like it. I really like the artwork. It's great. It's very old school Batman. I mean, it's not, you don't need to be like, you know, the Mr. He Who Shall Not Be Mentioned here on the show. You know, you don't have to pick up a dictionary and 12 different encyclopedias just to enjoy the comic. You know, it's just, you know, it's got Etrigan the Demon in it.
Good.
And it's got Ragman, which I'm a big fan of Ragman.
Me too.
You know, I really dig him being in
Where's
Gotham.
That action figure?
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
I got you started.
Don't even start. But I mean, look at this, dude. I mean, the panels are breathtaking.
I know how to push the
button. I really like them.
Those are nice.
And tell you the truth, they're only up to issue 4. This is one of those, you know, you can back issue the other ones. I know I had a customer come in a while back. Hey, can you get me 1 through 4? Yeah, sure can.
Those are easy, yeah. And unlike Micronauts.
Jesus. You got some easy.
I know, but I'm still flustered.
Dark Knight, I mean, I got to tell you guys, highly recommend it. Very good.
Good stuff.
The new Schism.
I thought you were going to say the new Zoo Review, and I was going to
Who would name a miniseries Schism anyway? It's like, really? That doesn't even sound appropriate.
There's something wrong, but that's okay.
There's something wrong. But I got to tell you, Jason Aaron is actually doing the writing tasks on this. And Frank Chow, oh God, the guy's awesome on his artwork. I mean, brilliant panels.
Oh yeah, looks nice.
He's always done. He did Jungle Girl years ago. I'm really a big fan of Cho. He does some really good, clean work. Tell you the truth, it's supposed to be 5-issue miniseries, but just going through the second one here, Wolverine and Cyclops don't seem to be parting ways, so.
Weird. So they're going to have to figure out, they're going to have to hurry up and get that together.
Yeah, because I know at the end of this, it's supposed to have Wolverine on one team. Rumor has it may not even be Cyclops leading the other, that it might be someone else.
Yeah, but the pictures show something different. Yeah, they show Cyclops, remember?
Yeah, it kind of leads to that, but we'll see. But tell you the truth, the biggest thing I like is they have a new Hellfire Club. And I've always been a Hellfire Club fan. So,
so you're all down. Grades,
yeah, very good. Green Lantern Corps.
You had me at Hellfire.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm Tony Bard, Beard, however you want to pronounce it, is actually
Beard,
doing
yeah. Beard.
He's doing the Green Lantern Corps right now. And David Hadar, HDR, is actually doing the artwork, which the artwork is pretty good. It's not the best out there, but I got to tell you, it's pretty clean. And this main story is, tell you the truth, spoiler alert here again, but it looks like they're breaking up Kyle again. You know, he's been dating Soraka, who is Sinestro's daughter. And they've been dating for a while. And unfortunately, this Red Lantern, you know, Star Sapphire, kind of lets them, she's trying to do a good thing. And she goes, hey, I want you guys to, you know, see what your heart's desire is. And of course, hers is Kyle's. Problem is, Kyle's is Jade, his ex-girlfriend. So they kind of parted ways. And don't just so you guys don't think, you know, I'm trying to switch these up between DC and Marvel. I know some people have kind of made some comments. We've actually got some people out on Facebook making comments that I don't lean just towards DC. I'll mix it up a little bit.
If only Marvel was as good as DC, but or
you know, some
the
of
old
it
DC.
Is. Some
I,
of it
you
is.
You know what? During the 70s and the 80s, I loved Marvel. I loved them, especially the mid to late 70s. Well, I loved it.
Back when Jim Lee was doing the artwork for, and Claremont was doing X-Men.
Oh, that was like late 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Grace. But,
and McFarlane was
but
doing
some
the
of
Hulk.
The stuff is doing great. I got to tell you, the Green Lantern books are good. Marvel, I'm loving the Fear Itself storylines. Tell you the truth, my favorite Marvel comic right now, by far, Uncanny X-Men. What I dig about this is I was always a big fan of the Age of Apocalypse. I really liked how they did it. It was a great concept. They stopped all titles for the X-Men for 4 months. For those 4 months, they did limited series, and it was all in this other realm called the Age of Apocalypse. If you guys ever get a chance to get those in trades, they're great. But the panels on this stuff, check this out. It's just great.
Nice, yeah.
And the story behind it is Archangel is actually kind of going kind of wacky, for lack of a better term. And they found out that they need to go to the Age of Apocalypse, because that's the only place Apocalypse still kind of lives, to get some device to actually fix him up. So it's kind of cool because you get to see Deadpool and Psylocke and Wolverine and Archangel interacting with these other characters. Rick Remender is doing the writing on this, and Mark Brooks is the artwork. And I got to tell you, Mark Brooks is probably my favorite Marvel artist right now. He does some really good clean-cut work. I'm really digging it.
I've been getting back into the old books, man, thanks to you. I picked up a bunch of my Sal Buscema stuff from you, the Hulk stuff. You know what? That stuff...
Look at this.
That is nice stuff. I love Sal. Patsy... Oh, wow, that's the weirdest thing ever. It's like Ghost Rider meets Iron Man. Pat Broderick, I love Pat Broderick's art. And, of course, you know, I was looking at those older Batmans with Aparo. And the writers, Marv Wolfman and all that. Man, come on.
Yeah, great stuff.
You cannot beat it. It's just so good.
Here's some indies. I picked up the new Witchblade. I think it actually came out last week, but I picked it up this week. It's issue 146. And it's Ron Merez is doing the writing task. And it's Stefan Sajic. I got to tell you, look at this. It's very digital, computer graphic type art. It's a very unique style, but I'm digging it. It's something different. I used to collect Witchblade religiously all the way up to about issue 120. And then I kind of backed off. It just kind of got wacky when they all of a sudden had two different Witchblades, two different girls wielding it, and it was like crazy.
Yeah, you couldn't figure out what the hell was going on.
No, but it's looking like it's getting back in track. So, new Detective came out. Gotta tell you, I love the stories in Detective. The stories have been really, really good. But to me, the artwork is junk. This jock, I guess they do the artwork on this. I don't like him. I mean, a lot of people might. But number one, the guy's, he goes by the name Jock. J-O-C-K. No first, no last name. That's him. I'm a jock. Sounds French. I'm sure he's going to give up at some point.
Huh.
Was that out loud?
That's all right, though.
New Green Lantern, Green Arrow. I mean, there's so many comics that came out this week. This is a very heavy week. My pile is crazy. I think I got like 20 new comics this week. So, I'm not going to touch base with all of them. But Gotham City Sirens. Calloway's doing the work on the writing. Grinaldo, I believe. I know I just butchered this poor guy's name. Any name, you know, that looks like it should be on the back of a baseball jersey, you always got to be leery of. But I got to tell you, I'm really digging the Birds of Prey here lately. It looks like they're coming up to an end, which is probably a good thing. That's one of those books I got to say I'm glad it's kind of ending. They can only go so far with it. X-Men Legacy, the new Wonder Woman. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Now all of a sudden you got the old Wonder Woman fighting the new Wonder Woman. And by the end of it, they're talking about how they're going to be as one. Yet it's kind of depressing when you know next month, you know,
it's all going to go
all over again. I think that's my problem. God, I'm so depressed over this anymore. It's just, I don't understand what's going on with it to the fact that they think this really is a good idea. I just cannot believe they think this is a good idea.
I can't either.
Dream Eater Saga, part 6 and 7 has come out. Getting closer to the end. Warlord of Mars, I got to tell you something, guys. I know if you guys go through and start looking up that Marvel is starting their own Warlord of Mars because the movie's coming out soon. But I've seen it online. I kind of previewed it because it hasn't come out yet. I cannot tell you to stay away from it enough. It doesn't look good. The artwork looks terrible. If you want a really good classic Warlord of Mars and you really are digging it,
go for the John Carter version, man.
Yeah, and tell you the truth, what this is, Dynamite Entertainment's putting this out. And they put out two different ones. They put out Warlord of Mars, and they also put out Warlord of Mars, Daja Thoris, which is one of the princesses. So it kind of follows her kind of storyline as well. It's written by Evan Nelson and illustrated by Carlos Rafael. And I got to tell you, I really, really like the artwork. The thing I think I like the best is that they don't switch artists a lot. They're really staying very, very consistent. It's really clean artwork.
Good. I like that.
Yeah, I like the consistency of it. It's just,
it's almost old school.
It is, and highly recommend it. Stay away from the Marvel. Go to Dynamite.
Hussy. Heck yeah.
And tell you the truth, the one I'm going to tell you guys that, yeah, it's very risque and it's got nudity in it, but if you want some of the best artwork and the best inking out there in the industry, to me, is Jim Balin's Tarot. Those who aren't familiar with Jim Balin, he's the one that actually did Catwoman So Cool with the black leather costume and the purple costume and the black boots back in the 80s. And, what's so cool about this is a true indie comic. He does all the artwork, and his wife, Holly, does, and she's kind of the inspiration for the character, Tarot, does all the inking. You know, they both, you know, and they both do it. They put it out. I mean, they're on issue 69. It comes out every month, every other month. It's a bi-monthly comic book. And I got to tell you, they've never hit a deadline. They never miss a deadline. They're great stuff. Highly recommend it. They're on the ball. But you know what?
We're out of time.
We're out of time. And it's been great. I got to tell you guys, thank you very much for tuning in.
Always.
Really enjoyed it. Get out there. Give me your ideas out there on Facebook. It's Brute Squad Entertainment. Just go out there, do some
forums,
posting.
Forums, too. There's forums. And there is forums. I need to get you hooked up there because you're the moderator. You just don't go there.
I have been.
Have you been going?
I have been
good.
Going,
the
yes.
Forums over at jackaloperadio.com. Click on the forums. You can click on your favorite show and leave comments.
Oh, I have not. I've been doing the polling on my own. I will have to go check on the
Jackalope. Right there, because we've got this whole forum there that people have been using, and like you had stuff there, and I think it's gone now.
Oh, I'll have to go out there.
If you don't give it any kind of attention, it goes away.
I will go out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and once again, you know, we want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you again for Jackalope Radio for sponsoring this one.
Always.
Always. And we'll check you out next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Brute Squad!
On the Brute Squad. I don't wanna do.